Let us then turn in God's Word to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, as we spend a little while, but I keep kind of track on where we're at in Genesis as I've been over here. And Abraham is getting older, and Sarah has just died in chapter 23. And so Abraham is concerned about the future. And it's important and good for us to consider our future, what's going to happen, and to prepare the fact that every one of us is going to die. We don't like to think about that, but it's important for us to think about. And so Abraham seeks to get Isaac married, seeks to find a wife for him. So that's what we read in Genesis chapter 24. Let us hear together the Word of God. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please, put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your pitcher that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will also give your camels a drink,' let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher." So she said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a gold nose ring weighing half a shekel, and 2 bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" So she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor." Moreover, she said to him, "We have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge." Then the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, "Thus the man spoke to me," that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels, but at the well. And he said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat until I have told you about my errand." And he said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son.' And I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'The Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear of this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath.' And this day I came to the well and said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, "Please give me a drink or a little water from your pitcher to drink." And she says to me, "Drink, and I will draw water for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son." And before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, "Please let me drink." And she said, she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will give your camels a drink also." So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, "Whose daughter are you?" And she said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists. And I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either good or bad." "Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard the words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Excuse me. And he said, and he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them." Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servants took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the morning. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this passage of God's word, we see very clearly God's providence, that everything that goes on in this world happens with God's direction. So often, especially in our culture, we get this idea that things happen by chance. Even as we see the way in which Abraham's servant comes to the well, and that Rebekah is the first one there. As we see Isaac out in the field praying, meditating on God's word. So we see that God is directing and using all of these things to bring about his will. And as we look at this passage, we have to say, wow, look at the way in which God does these things. We talked just a few minutes ago about the question, why do good things happen to bad people? And again, I think we have that laid before us. We have to understand that we are sinners, that we deserve God's judgment and his wrath, and that Isaac was not a perfect man. And yet, God gives awesome and amazing gifts. And we see that in wives and husbands, in so many things in our lives, where we look and we see how good God is toward us. So as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is that God continues to provide a line for himself and to provide for the coming of his Savior. That's what we want to see as we look at Isaac and Rebekah here. God continues to provide a line for himself and to provide for the coming of his Savior. In verses 1 through 9, we see that Abraham relies on the Lord. In verses 10 through 49, we look at the Lord's provision. And in verses 50 through 67, we see that the Lord uses our faithful actions to fulfill or to further his kingdom. So first of all, Abraham relies on the Lord. We talked about that in the canons of Dort, didn't we? Same idea. That we rely on God. We think so often we get it backwards. We say we gotta do things and God's gotta rely on me. No way. We rely on God. And as we consider our lives, Abraham realizes that his time on this earth is growing short. And so how do we act as we consider that our time on this earth is not long? One of the things Abraham felt was very important was that Isaac not married one of those who would be of the Canaanite area. He wanted someone to marry his son who would be a Christian, who would follow after the laws and the commandments of God. And so Abraham says, we've got to act on that fact. We can't just sit back and say, well, God's going to take care of this. That's something for young people to consider. We don't just sit back and relax and say, well, God's going to bring me the right person. I can be anywhere I want to. I can do whatever I want to. And God's going to bring that. That's a bad way to choose someone to get married to. And then you get into the foolish people, and one thing I note as I read all of this, all the times in which the word virgin is mentioned, and how many people choose their husband or their wife by, well, she got pregnant. How foolish. How sinful. And so we need to be very specific about how do we serve God. And how do we go about living a God which is a life that is glorifying to God? And one of the choices that needs to be made for young people is, who do I get married to? For those of us who are older, how do we prepare for the fact that we're going to die? Are there important things that we need to take care of? Or do we leave those things to the wind? Wind doesn't do a good job, does it? And so as Christians, we don't just let things go. You know, the old, it's not that old, really, the country music song, Jesus, take the wheel. Last time I let go of the wheel on my car, it wasn't a good situation. No. We as Christians, the canons of Dort, all of these things work so well together today. And that's God's way of doing these things. Our will is within God's. We seek to be obedient to God. And so Abraham's looking at death. He says, I'm going to die soon here. I want my son to have a good wife. Because there's an awful lot of rotten ones out there. He's not worried about money. He's not worried about so many other things that we're worried about as human beings. He says, I want him to have a good partner in serving God. And he does this by the Lord. I will make you swear, verse 3, by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that God is the one who's directing this. Too often as human beings, we think about ourselves. One of my favorite kings is Hezekiah, but he also has a very bad aspect that I really dislike about him. Hezekiah was worried about his life. Hezekiah had some problems, but when he was confronted with those problems, the king said, or the prophet said to him, because you have been obedient, you'll have peace during your life. Is that good enough for me? Is that good enough for us? To say, there will be peace while I'm around at least. Whew. Or do we care about our children and our grandchildren and the world they're going to have to live in? That's so important. And so Abraham is seeking the protection of the next generation. Says to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me, the servant says, verse 5. Must I bring your son back to the land from which he came? Abraham is seeking for the purpose that Isaac would remain in the Lord. Spouses have a great ability to turn us aside from God or to be helpful in God. And we must be very careful about who we marry, who our children marry. By the way, that's why that question is so important in the marriage ceremony that people just don't even think about anymore. Who gives this woman to be married to this man? Nobody knows the right answer to that anymore. The correct answer is for the father to say, I do. Because the father is the authority in that young woman's life, and he's handing that authority over to her husband. And so the correct answer there is not we do. The correct answer is I do. And that is a revolution. A marriage ceremony is a revolution. And so we have to be biblical about these things. And yet we don't even sadly know the answers to the questions, the basic questions about what it is. And it's so important for us whom we marry. It's one of the most important questions in our lives. I don't want to jump too far out of this, but that's why we have to be careful where we go to college and the people we hang out with. Why? If you're hanging out with people you wouldn't be willing to marry, I hear that. Oh, that just drove me up the wall. I was talking to a young woman. Oh, I'm just dating him and we've got 3 kids together, but he's really not husband material. What? No. We have to see and make sure that this guy, this girl, is a servant of God. And that's that primary thing. And when we make those decisions in college, we need to be, or however it is, wherever we are, we need to be in the Lord. We need to be in prayer. Otherwise, we can mess up our lives in 3 seconds in a manner we can't even imagine. And so Abraham is seeking, and of course this passage, Isaac doesn't even get a choice, does he? You know what? The Bible never says marry the one you love. Never. But it does reverse those two. Love the one you marry. Because guess what? Love is not a lake we fall into. Love is a verb. Believe me, I'm a pretty unlovable guy sometimes. I am so grateful to my good wife. Because she loves me even though I'm not the nicest guy all the time. And believe me, love is a choice that we make every day. Love is a choice we make every moment. That we have sworn before God. I have to say, one very interesting thing, I'm learning more and more about my wife. We've been married 15 years now. And I'm learning about her that she learned better how to be a married person than I ever did growing up. I'm so thankful for that. But being married is a vow before God. We don't go back on that. Jesus said very clearly, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And so Abraham is seeing his own life coming into an end, and he says, I want this taken care of. I want a Christian wife, being of course anachronistic, there wasn't Christ yet from that perspective, but a good wife, a believing wife for my husband, or for my son. And then we see the Lord's provision. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So God sends, or Abraham sends Eliezer. Now think about, we got to have in the back of our mind who Eliezer is. We don't know him, right? I mean, if we've been reading through the Bible, we have heard of him before. But I'm guessing you don't know who he is. He is the servant before Isaac had been born who would have received all of Abraham's goods. This is rough duty. This is not an easy thing for Eliezer to go off and say, okay, I'm going to find a wife for this son of Abraham. This is a hard request. And yet, what does he do? He trusts God. Remember, he had been circumcised with Abraham. He had been given the covenant promise through Abraham, if we read that in Genesis chapter 17. And he's praying. He's believing and trusting in God too. When we as Christians live Christian lives in front of other people, that's going to have an effect. Too often we don't think that, you know, I want to be blend in, right? I don't want to be live weird. Being a Christian is going to make you a little weird. Guess what? That's a good thing. When we truly trust God. And so he goes, notice, as we read through the passage, how many times we read, ran over here, ran over there. Quick, quick, quick. How quick are we at serving God? Yeah, if I get around to it. Now, sometimes God's providence seems to move slowly. Sometimes it moves very quickly here. And here, it moves almost light speed, doesn't it? Boom! We ought to be swift to serve the Lord. And we see this in Eliezer, and we see this in Rebecca too, don't we? When she is asked to give this man a drink of water, she quickly gets her pot off of her shoulder. These weren't small things. These were huge. And she gets out the water and she quickly fills the trough and runs down into the well to get more. You have to think these wells are pits. These aren't like our wells where we drill a hole. These are a pit that at the bottom of the well there would be water. She's swiftly serving the Lord. And so when Eleazar is then brought to her family, notice things get a little interesting there. Rebecca doesn't bring him home. Laban has to come back out. And notice how Laban says, "Why are you still here?" But anyway, notice what happens. Does Eleazar just say, "Well, yeah, God took care of me. We're cool." No, he recounts everything, doesn't he? I think this is a failing we have as Christians. We kind of just lump everything in and say, "Well, yeah, God was with me. Okay, bye-bye." And it's so good for us to retell what God has done for us. And it's not how important I am, but as we said again in the Canons of Dort, look how awesome this God is that I serve. And it ought to be told that way. Not saying, "Well, I'm so good, God ought to really pray to me," but we get it the other way sometimes. I mean, that's how we act. But God saved this miserable sinner who is on his way to hell. And look how often the Israelites were called to be reminded. We've been reading through the Psalms recently. And how many times God rehearses in the Psalms what God did to save the Israelites out of Egypt. Well, we ought to have that sort of language on our tongues about how God saved me out of sin. God saved this sinner. It's good for us to be reminded. It's good for others to hear it. Remember, we're not bragging, and it ought not sound that way, but we're bragging God. We're glorifying God. And to retell that sort of stuff spurs us and it spurs them on to further godliness. And so as we continue through the passage, God uses our faithful actions to further His kingdom. In Eureka, we've been in a lot of tough passages recently. As we talked about David and Bathsheba and Uriah, murder and rape. This Sunday we looked at David's son raping his sister, half-sister. And we see how much being disobedient causes grave problems in our lives. And we have to understand that aspect of it. But this is the other side of that. When we're obedient, when we put God first, it greases things. Yes, God can use it and God can turn it when we are rotten and sinful and stupid. God can use that. But God uses when we're obedient all the more. All the more wondrously. And we look at that here in this passage. So Laban responds, the story has been told, and Laban says, "I can't answer you yes or no. This is obviously the hand of God. You come across the desert, you walk up to my daughter." Not to mention, Eleazar had a little bit of gold with him. I don't know if you noticed that on the way past. This wasn't exactly thrown around. I mean, talents of gold for bracelets and for nose rings. That's some cash. But this is obviously the hand of the Lord. And so what does Eleazar do? Verses 52 and 53. He bows down and worships. When God blesses our obedience, what do? We ought to be on our knees in worship. When God is gracious to us, when He provides for us, that's one of the reasons it's so important for us when we do have a marriage ceremony. We don't go to the justice of the peace. We come to the church. Read Proverbs 30. I think it's 30 or is it 31? I can never remember. Anyway, a wife is a blessing from the Lord. A good wife. There are other passages in Proverbs that talk about the bad ones. Dripping faucets, things like that. But notice how we are to respond about a good gift. To worship. And we're not to drag our feet in serving God. It's obvious this was the direction of God. Now, a lot of times it's less obvious to us, isn't it? That this is how God exactly wants us to go. But we are called to serve God. To be obedient to God. And when we are doing those things, everything else falls into line. When we spend our time trying to get around and say, well, how far can I go without sinning, God? Can I get away with this? Are you going to strike me with lightning because I do this? Kind of run in the wrong direction, aren't we? We do that, don't we? When we are obedient to God, we can trust in His blessing. We can know that He will provide for us. Jesus said, don't worry about all this stuff the world worries about, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, all those things. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Look at the lily in the field. Solomon wasn't that beautiful in all his splendor. And the Lord provides. So notice how this moves forward. This moves forward the promise of the Savior. The line of Jesus is moved forward. Notice, I love the end of this passage, just as we come to a conclusion. We have Rebekah coming back with the servant. And she and Isaac see each other afar off. Notice where Isaac is. He's in a time of prayer, meditating. Right place to be. Where do we find good people to marry? In church. Not the bar. Sometimes God uses that, don't get me wrong. But where do we find someone who is good to marry? Then, notice Rebekah sees him. And she assumes a posture of modesty. This is going to be her husband, obviously. When the servant says, this is the right guy, she puts a veil on. She does not reveal things, get on the scanty clothing. He says, I'm going to be modest. The beauty of a Christian woman is what, God says? Beauty of the heart. Too often, we follow the pathway of the world. Say, well, beauty is that external thing. No. True beauty is what's in our hearts. And God says, let that be our beauty. And we as men need to realize that that's far more important than what she looks like on the outside. And women need to realize that too. Because then they won't spend so much time on all the external junk. They spend a little bit more time in devotions. But as we look at this passage, it's such a breath of fresh air, having been dealing with what I'm dealing with in the passages we're looking at in Eureka right now. Because God uses their obedience, their modesty, their honesty, and God does that. And their trust of Him to bring forward His line of salvation. And God uses us. Yes, we know God can use us even when we're rebellious and sinful. But God uses us all the more and provides all the better when we seek to be obedient and righteous. And He will provide wondrous blessings through that. I can't promise you that when we do it the wrong way. When we're doing it the wrong way, I can't promise you that He's going to bless. But when we are obedient, we know that even if God sends hardship, it's a blessing. Amen. Let us bow before God in prayer. Almighty, gracious Heavenly Father, indeed we do thank You that You use us when we are obedient. And we pray, Lord, that we would see that the best place of blessing is in obedience to You, in trusting in You. And we pray that with regards to us as we consider that we're not going to be here forever. And so we pray, Lord, that we would trust in You and seek to be obedient to You in regard to the things You have given us on this earth. But also, Lord, as we consider matters of life and of marriage and those sorts of things, we pray, Lord, that we would have hearts that are obedient to You, in service to You. And we pray, Lord, that You would provide through that obedience a blessed life of husband and wife, that if that be Your will for the young people here and for those who are married, that we would be obedience to You toward one another and thereby receive all the more blessing in our marriages. For we ask these things through Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for our sins, who bought us back. For we pray these things in His name alone.